Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Sam.
And we have a special guest today, Charlie Shield. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you.
Charlie, you're here because the numbers have changed in Germany, the coronavirus numbers, in a bad way. New daily records being set. Very, very high numbers, but also where people are being infected has changed. There's this graph that's being shared on social media, at least here in Germany, showing how at the beginning, you know, retirement facilities were really hit hard. You had a lot of infections there. And now it's all about the private parties.
Private parties and the weddings.
Private parties. These are fueling the spreading pandemic. And Charlie, you've been in touch with someone. You've been talking to a researcher who has an explanation for why we're doing this, why we're making this mistake. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I've been speaking to a researcher from the Australian National University in Canberra. Her name's Tegan Cruers. She's a social psychologist, and she's been looking into the link between our risk perception and our close networks and how that alters when we perceive people to be closer to us and to share some sort of identity with them.
So, like, I feel more comfortable maybe getting a coffee with a friend than passing someone in the supermarket who I don't know, that sort of thing?
Exactly. So maybe you'll type into Google furiously after coming home from a run, like, can I get coronavirus from the breath of somebody running past me? But you'll much more likely, get a coffee with someone or even hug a friend and not think about the health risk that you're taking in that moment.
Why do we do that? I mean, we Homo sapiens like to imagine that we're very good at assessing risk, right? We're protecting our lives, this one organism that I have. Any idea what's going on there? Why are we so bad at judging how risky it is to be with people who just happen to be friends?
Well, I guess as social creatures, we're wired to operate in a group. And we want social connection. We want to be around each other. I think I read a statistic that the number one indicator for human longevity across societies all over the world is social connection and feeling part of a group. So if you feel part of a group, you're likely to live longer than, you know, eating healthily or getting enough sleep, that kind of thing.
Okay, so there's a strong evolutionary argument, I would assume, right? As we've evolved in tribes or groups, right? If you were ostracized, kicked out of that group, your odds of survival went way down. So this is, on the one hand, it's a good thing if I have a large group of friends staying alive. But in the context of a pandemic, it raises the risk.
Exactly. And Tegan had something to say about that point exactly.
We're actually quite ready to see strangers as being a threat and a risk. The real threat, I think, that we often overlook and don't realize is there is our closest networks, our families, our friends, our valued communities. During our lockdown period through sort of March and April, where the restrictions were most severe, more than 90% of people said that they were keeping physical distance on public transport and from strangers. More than half of people said they were keeping physical distance from their work colleagues, but only 13% said that they were taking any precautions at all in their own homes.
So this kind of reminds me of other diseases that are transmitted, namely STDs, and how often people will trust, you know, people they're in intimate relationships with. They'll say, no, it's okay, I'm not sick, even if they don't know that for sure. Maybe they haven't been tested. Is that a similar phenomenon going on with coronavirus?
It could be. I suppose in wanting to foster closeness with someone and intimacy with someone, you'd be more likely to take those risks, those health risks. They might not even sort of explicitly enter your mind.
It sounds like what you're saying, Charlie, is we need to kind of redo a risk assessment of our own friends again and realize they're actually more dangerous than we think. So just say no to friends, everyone out there. But my question is, they also have a really important role in my life toward my happiness and health. Should we cut off all friendships and just accept that we're going to lose some of our health with it? Or is there an in-between?
Yeah, there is an in-between. And that's exactly what Tegan said. You know, we're lucky that we're having this pandemic in 2020 and not 1980 or so, because we do actually have the technology to be able to maintain social connections without being in the same room as someone and elevating that health risk of viral transmission.
Science Unscripted.